Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is KS1PPY activating the Fuck Your Amateur Radio Association Technical Services Net. Net's held every Wednesday at 8 p.m. local time on the 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fuck Your Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and Q&A regarding technical topics such as equipment hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. I'd just like to remind everybody, this is while it is an informal net, it is also a directed net, so if you check in, please wait for net control to call your call sign and direct you for communications, and when you have finished, let us know that by signing with your call sign and some sort of direction, such as KS1PPY back to net, or back to KS1PPY being your net controller tonight. For announcements, I've got the informal members breakfast coming up November 27th at 8:30 in the morning. We meet over at the Wegman in the Stonewall Shopping Center in Gainesville. If anybody has that morning free, come out and meet up with some of the other members to have some breakfast and visit, see faces, and have an eyeball queso. Love to have you out there. The monthly club meeting is going to be held December 9th. I believe that's at the PATH Foundation building, and we do a combination of in-person and WebEx meetings. So if you can't make it out personally, feel free to join us on the WebEx and join us virtually. And the club Christmas party is December 11th. There's some information on the groups.io for location and food stuffs. I think it's gonna be held much like the field day event was. The club is going to provide main course meats and sort of a potluck of whatever people would like to bring on the side. I believe there's a sign up sheet there to let us know what you're gonna bring. Does anyone else have any other announcements or news to bring up? Please call now.
10-7-IVB.
N7IVB, go ahead.
KS1PPI, and the net, this is N7IVB. Not specifically ham-related, but thought I'd mention it anyway. There is a total lunar eclipse coming up on the 19th. It basically starts a little after midnight, but runs clear through dawn. It's apparently the longest lunar eclipse that has been witnessed in about 480 years, so... if you're bored, can't sleep, and the weather's good, step outside and enjoy a celestial event there. N7IBB, back to net.
Oh, fantastic. I was reading on that, and I lost track of when that was going to be. November 19th. Good to remember. As far as topics go, I've had super, super busy week, so I don't have much of a topic prepared other than possibly just walking through questions that should come up in the general test. Figure give each person a question as they get their turn and go through that. But if anybody else has a topic that they would like to discuss or a burning question that they need answered, please give me a call now. Let us know. Okay, nothing heard on the topics, so we'll throw it up to questions from the general. I think they call it the general level. I don't even know how to describe that. It's you have three different levels of licensing when you become a ham. You've got your technician, which is the bottom level, the general, which is sort of the mid, gives you more access to more frequencies and permissions on the frequencies, and then extra. So we're just kind of, since most people who are on here should have their technician test. We're running to get people prepped for the next level, being the general. So it'll be some question that you'd run across on the general test. Let's go for a round of check-ins. Anybody wishing to join us tonight, please call now.
This is K1HTV.
KN4JIM, in and out.
KF4TEK.
K8QZN, Whiskey Delta 8, Quebec Charlie November, in and out.
KX4KU.
KN4SPL.
BB7RAB, in and out.
Okay, so far I've got N7IVV, K1HTV, KN4JIM, KF4TEK, WD8QCN is in and out. Thank you for joining us tonight. KX4KU, KN4SPL, and WB7RAV in and out. Is there any others? Please call now.
K3FR.
All right, added to it. K3FR, Ron, thanks for joining us. We'll go up to the top of the list tonight. Brad, you spoke up and checked in early, so you get to be first on it. The question for you is, what is the approximate junction threshold voltage of a conventional silicon diode? Is it A, 0.3 volts, B, 1.0 volts, C, 0.1 volts, or D, 0.7 volts? N7IVV, go ahead.
This is N7IVV. I'm going to go with 0.7 volts, and that's just a guess, because I can't remember. So whatever option that was, 0.7 volts. As far as activities this week, it's pretty boring at night when you don't have the low bands to look at and watch. But 20, 15, and 10 is sure busy during the day. But I tend to be somewhat insomniac lately. So I usually have those bands running. But what I do now is I just sort of sit on 20 all night and watch and see when things come up. And every once in a while something pops up. But mostly it's not until after sunup that band starts waking up and things get busy. I think I did manage to get I could not get Cape Verde. I couldn't quite work them. But I've had a number of new countries pop up, and mostly they're new countries for 20 meters or whatever, 15 meters, so it's been kind of interesting. Other than that, just kind of working on a few electronics projects and some parts that weren't electronic, but that's where the electronics go into, so you know, I get to dabble with playing with pieces and parts. But unfortunately, none of them were dealing with anything as high level as which the threshold voltage is. Anyway, back to you. This is N7IVV. Go ahead.
Roger that. Yeah, the 15 was open spectacularly yesterday. I made a bunch of new countries, or at least for me, it was open fairly well. I've been running 60 meters during the late night, so if you have an antenna for that, there's quite a bit of activity once the sun goes down here. I get on 60 meters and have a pretty good time with that. But yes, you are correct. The approximate junction threshold voltage of a conventional silicon diode is 0.7 volts, and that's conventional. And I know what you mean. It's been a while since I've dealt with component level electronics. I've still got diodes to rebuild this bridge rectifier for this power supply, and I'm not looking forward to that project. Let's see, next on the list, we've got K1HTV. The question that's coming up says, how does the receiving station respond to an ARQ data packet containing errors? Does it request a change in transmitting protocol? Does it terminate the contact? Or it sends the packet back to the transmitting station? Or it requests the packet to be retransmitted? K1HTV, go ahead.
This is K1HTV. Number four, the request the packet to be retransmitted. As far as activity, let's see. 10's been good, 12's been good, 15's been good during the day. There are a couple of new stations on, a VP8, new one in Falcon Islands popped up. A couple FR-7s, both have been on before. I've been on 12 meters, so they're, they've been on. I was on FT-4 this evening on 40 meters, and boy, there's a lot of activity. I was surprised that FT-4 had, it's been good on 20. Occasionally you'll see some FT-4 on 15, but 40 was, it worked probably about 15 stations, just like bum, bum, bum. So good to see the bands open. In the middle of the night, have you tried 160 or 80? I've worked Europeans at their sunrise around 2 in the morning. You get on 80 meters and you can work Europeans even, you know, between midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning if you're up at that hour. I know you're up at strange hours, Brad. You're bound to see a couple Europeans come through. As far as technical stuff, still completing work on the auto switching unit. Andy went up the tower Sunday, and I think it reported that able to level the upper guy ring to allow the tower to turn the full 360. With some minor issues, but the bearing still have to be replaced. We need to have new guy grips. They're not in yet, so that's delaying the work. So the work was supposed to be done today, but that's going to be delayed until the guy grips come in, probably next week. And, of course, we do need some warm weather. It was beautiful yesterday and today, but Murphy's Law says when the guy grips come in, it'll be down to 10 or 15 degrees. Looking back at my log the past couple of days, I noticed a lot of VKs coming through on 30 and 40 at about between 10 and 10:30 Zulu, which would be between 5 and 5:30 in the morning. So if you're up early, check 30 or 40 for the Pacific. That's about it for now. Back to net control, K1HTV.
Fun business. Yeah, I keep forgetting about other modes. I should try to hop into the FT4 during the times when I see that, and I'll have to remember to change it over and try out some new things. It's always good to try out new things. Let's see. Next on my list, I have KN4JIM. Not familiar with the call sign. It says Jordan out in Warrenton, but feel free to introduce yourself and let us know where you are if this is your first time on the net. And the question we've got here is, generally, who should respond to a station in the contiguous 48 states who calls CQDX? So if you're in the States and you hear CQDX, who should respond? Is that any station outside the lower 48 states? Only stations in Germany? Any caller is welcome to respond, or only contest stations? And it's possible that you were in and out, but I did not get it marked if you were. Go ahead, KN4JIM.
Zippy, he checked in and out in 7IVV.
Roger that. My apologies. So move down KF4TK. Same question, if you can remember it. Go ahead.
Hey, Zippy, I missed the question. I'm sorry. KN4JIM. It would be all stations. Any station can respond to CQCQDX. Back to net. That's all I have for the group.
Oh, roger that. The actual answer would be any stations outside the lower 48 states. Generally, if you see a station calling DX, it means they're looking for a station outside of their area. So if I'm in the States and I'm calling CQDX, that means I'm looking for anybody but the States. If you see somebody in Paraguay calling CQDX, it means they're calling anybody but people in Paraguay. So That's kind of a tricky one, but thanks for participating. Sorry to kind of call you in and around. One sec, KF4TK, I'll come up with a different question for you, one a little more complicated. Okay, so for KF4TK, what is the phase difference between the I and Q signals that software-defined radio equipment uses for modulation and demodulation? Is it A, 90 degrees? B, 0, C, 180 degrees, or D, 45 degrees. Go ahead, KF4TK.
All right, good evening, Cynthia in the net. That's 90 degrees.
in phase and quadrature. Quadrature, quad 4, 490 times 4 is 360. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, but I've managed to get some bench time and picked up a couple of radios that didn't work from Brad. And the one I have open right now has got a power, it's got a train of power supply issues internally, and I have a feeling that when I finally work my way through all of the cooked regulators and things, that I'm going to find a chunk that's failed. And the only question is it going to be worth replacing? But that's been my radio-related fun for the week. I also had WSJTX fill up the hard drive and give my computer fit. So remember to check that save menu, folks, and make sure it says none, or make sure you go track down all the little 15-second wave files it's creating and flush them out periodically. I had over 115,000 wave files in my local share directory and made my computer unhappy. But nothing really to complain about, so I guess I'll hand it back to you. Oh, I did have one other thing. Those of you who track space news may have seen the report that Russia shot a missile at and destroyed one of its aging satellites in the roughly 400-kilometer orbit shell and made a horrific mess. And the fallout of which is still TBD and will probably be TBD for some years. But I'm curious, for those who operate satellites frequently or who follow satellite trends, if they think that there will be any interesting operating opportunities or issues created by this particular debris cloud. That's my question for the net. So good to hear everybody. Hope everyone's doing okay. We'll chat with you later. 73KF4TEK back to net. And this is KS1PPY with the Wednesday night Farinet. Starting at the top, yes, you got your answer correct. 90 degrees is the phase difference between the I and the Q channel and SDR equipment that it uses for modulation and demodulation. Good deal. I did see that news report on the space news, and actually, you know, because I work in satellites, that's been a very interesting topic of conversation, including the fact that it sent the ISS astronauts into a bit of a tizzy because it was in that direction, and a lot of interesting fallout. And my theory, we actually talked about this in one of our meetings recently, the implications of fallout is that we're going to have kind of like, or there's the possibility of sort of a artificial meteor shower for anybody who does meteor scatter communications. If you can track where stuff comes down out of the debris field, you might be able to bounce stuff off the signals coming off that. But maybe somebody else has more knowledgeable answer for it. Let's see, next on the list, WDA-QCN was in and out. KX4KU, Kevin, your question, what circuit is used to process signals from the RF amplifier and local oscillator and then send the result to the IF filter in a super heterodyne receiver?
KF1PPY, KX4KU in the net. Good evening, Mississippi. Thanks for doing the net. I believe that would be the mixer. So that's where it's supposed to be. Just wanted to just remind everybody on the December meeting that we are doing officer elections that night. So please try to attend so you can have a say in your club board. Other than that, I've been dog sitting, but the good part is this is where my station is, and I've been doing all sorts of different things, not as much as I had hoped, of course, but, yeah, I mean, I've gotten to Reunion Island a couple of times, and I actually like to forget about FT4. I turned that on and figured that was a real quick log filler mode. So, but I've just been putzing around with things. Saw Ham Clock on at Brad's house yesterday or the day before, and that kind of intrigued me. So I installed that and playing with that. Take a break. And other than that, feeding dogs, feeding cats, feeding me. So I will turn it back over to you. KS1PPY, KX4KU, back to that.
Oh, sounds good. And I have to apologize. I should have given you your A, B, C, and D options for that one, and I completely forgot. But you did get it right. It is the mixer. Would have been D, but I forgot to give you the options. You're smarter than the average bear to grab it without having the options there. So good job. And Roger, on the dog sitting, I'm starting to have all kinds of interesting problems with the dogs at our house. So we'll see how that goes. KN4 SBL next up. Your question, which of the following transmissions is permitted? Occasional retransmission of weather and propagation forecast information from U.S. government stations. B, unidentified transmissions for test purposes only. C, retransmission of any other amateur station signals by any amateur station. Or D, coded messages of any kind, if not intended to facilitate a criminal act. That is a very complicated set, but KN4SPL, go ahead.
KS1PPY from KN4SPL. Well, I'm going to throw a guess out there and say A. My constitution is a little low tonight. Work's been beating me up pretty good here lately with all the supply shortages and trying to get a project done that cannot get done because of the supply shortages. So, so hopefully A is right. If not, I'll be interested to know what is the correct answer. Besides that, only real radio stuff I've been doing is, again, just trying to get the ends of my dipole from an inverted V to an actual dipole. Been having trouble trying to get a rope up over the trees. Some kind ham from the NVTN gave me a suggestion of getting an armorous bag, a throw bag, rope, and that just came in the mail today. So it's a 14-ounce bag and about 150 feet of rope and a bag to hold said rope. So hopefully I'll give that a try, maybe over the weekend, maybe successfully get over the tree. So that's all I've been up to. This is KN4SPL, back to net control.
Yeah, I definitely can commiserate with trees and distances. Yeah, you'll have to let me know if the throw bag gives you any trouble. I took all my stuff to West Virginia over the weekend to fix the NFED half-wave that is at my mother-in-law's, and discovered that if you don't clean out the hairspray of a tennis ball cannon, it can gum it up, and it took me forever to get it cleaned to where I can fire a tennis ball, so I didn't wind up getting the antenna up. I had to warm it up to get the chamber open. So it may need some test runs, so if you need help with that, let me know. I also have a throw bag that's worked pretty well. And you are correct. The following transmissions are permitted. Occasional retransmission of weather and propagation forecast information from U.S. government stations. Out of all those options, that's the one that's allowed. Next I had WB7RAV was in and out. Thank you for stopping by. And K3FR, your question. What is the primary purpose of a screen grid in a vacuum tube? Is it to reduce grid-to-plate capacitance? B, to increase efficiency? C, to increase the control grid resistance, or D, to decrease plate resistance. K3FR, go ahead.
Good evening, all. KS1PPY, K3FR. Well, the answer is A, it's to reduce the control grid's plate capacitance of the device. And usually works pretty good. 807s and the 6L6s are well known for being that type of tube, often employed. As far as my ham activity, very, very little. I did get a few frames decoded on 6-meter FT8 from, 6-meter 265 from W4IMD down in northern Georgia a couple of days ago, but that was about it. He did work a couple of other people, but I was unable to get in on him. And most of the time it's been just on running around Christmas shopping for family. The hardest ones to buy for are the teenage kids that are out in Washington State. And also baking. Made some more of my famous cookies. And helping the neighbor lady out with replacing some of her ceiling lights with flush mount LED fixtures. So aside from that, I really haven't been doing an awful lot. My finger slipped off the button there. So, with that, we'll pass it back to you, Seppi, KS1PPY, K3FR.
Fine business, sounds good. And yes, you did get the answer correct. I begin to question sometimes whether or not the test should include stuff on vacuum tubes, because I have not seen a vacuum tube or used one in a long while. Maybe that's another topic for discussion. Is outdated, or is it considered outdated equipment these days? Who knows, but that sounds good. We got time for one more round of check-ins for anybody wanting to check in late or any rechecks. Please give me a call. This is KS1PPY with the Farrah Wednesday Night Service Net.
W8BT.
K3FR, recheck.
Alright, sounds good. We got W8BT. Travis, thank you. Thank you for checking in. And K3FR, recheck. Let's start off, we'll go with Travis. The question of the evening: why is high input impedance desirable for a voltmeter? A, it improves frequency response. B, it decreases the loading on circuits being measured. C, it decreases battery consumption in the meter. Or D, it improves the resolution of the readings. Go ahead, W8BT.
Hey, good evening, Sippy and all in the net. The answer to the question is B, decreases the load on the circuit being tested. It's not good to short things out when you're simply trying to test them. But anyway, I had a good day. Oh, no, my battery's dying. Can you go ahead?
WABT changes out his batteries. I'll let you know that, yes, he got the question correct, and we'll come back to him here in a second as he changes out his battery. K3FR, go ahead with your recheck while we wait.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's still quite a few screen grid, I should say, not screen grid, but TV sweep tube and 6146 powered rigs that are still on the air. A lot of Johnson Rangers and quite a few old Drake lines and et cetera that are still being used quite effectively for normal communication. So, yeah, I think it's worth still having some vacuum tubes in there. So, back to KS1PPY-K3FR.
Sounds good. That might actually be an interesting rabbit hole to fall down searching through the internet to find cases, find hams out there and sort of get an idea of how many of those old radios are still on the air and going. I'd be curious. I always think of those kind of things as I hear them referred to as boat anchors, and just makes me kind of scratch my head. Which reminds me, if anybody knows anything about crystal radios. My mother-in-law has an old, big wooden radio that she's curious to see whether or not it could get up and working. And I'm not quite sure. Not quite sure I'm up to that. But if anybody's interested, let me know, and I can see if I can bring that radio back with me for someone to play with. W8BT, did you get your radio? Get your batteries changed out? Go ahead.
KS1PBY in the net, W8BT. Yes, I did get the battery changed out. I think I was on the 5-watt setting. I probably would have been okay on the 1-watt. But anyway, I'm glad I got the answer right. Makes me think, a friend of mine on Facebook that I've known for probably 10-plus years, this past weekend just tested and through all three of the exams. He went from nothing to extra and got the call of KY4LB, Kilo Yankee 4 Lima Bravo. So I just wanted to throw some props out in case he's listening, but I don't know. He lives up in Round Hill, so. Anyway, I was kind of wondering, too, if KY4DN's listening. I'm not sure. It looks like his license is about to expire via QRZ, so. I don't know, not very much movement, but I know Ross was licensed as AJ4LL, so that was over 10 years ago. So I don't know, I'm curious as to how the extra class calls get handed out. But anyway, I got my antenna back up in the air, my ZS6BKW, back in the air on Tuesday, and had a good day at Rich's house on Sunday, working on the tower with Andy and Terry and Rich, but that's about all I've got. Just glad to be, and I just tried out some FT4 tonight after Rich's comment, and made like three contacts real quick from Germany to California to probably Texas, I guess, but it definitely works fast. Anyway, that's it. W8BT, back to net.
Oh, real quick, what band were your FT4 contacts on W8BT? Go ahead.
40 meters.
Okay, roger that. I'll have to check it out. I'll do one last call for newcomers or rechecks, and then we'll call it an evening. If you'd like to join us, and I'd curious about how the extra ones are handed out as well. Please give me a call.
Another recheck from K3FR.
Hey, no problem at all. We like to have that knowledge and if you've got the answers, we like to hear about it. You can recheck as many times as we need to for it. K3FR, go ahead.
Got one last item on the boat anchors. The straight key night, annual straight key night, which is usually New Year's Eve. The ARL does encourage old radios to get on, and I think there's a special event during the year sometime where they a couple of clubs. Or groups do also sponsor antique radio nights, and there have been quite a few older rigs that have been able to get on, qualify, and put it up. But yeah, you'll hear a lot of straight key nights. A good night, because that's not a very high speed CW night. It's a good night to just get on and meet people on using a pump handle. KS1PPY, K3FR.
Well, fine business. I'll have to check some of these out. I need to get back into studying. Hopefully, when my schedule calms down and we may actually find enough people to cover all the stuff at work. I'm like Bob with supply issues and personnel issues. So no time, no free time anymore these days. Lots and lots of work. But so this has been KS1PPY for the Wednesday Night Farinet. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on Farinet, please see our website at w4va.org or send an email to Saranet@w4va.org. And actually, let me put a plug in here real quick. We are still looking for other net controllers. Anybody willing to take a night, maybe once a month, or just, you know, a random one-off here and there, and got a night and it's free, and you'd like to try out net control, give us a call. It'd be real easy. Got a script, and anybody can do it. We definitely need some volunteers to kind of spread this out so it's not the same three people over and over and over, four people over and over and over. Let's get a little bit more interest in there. Please stand by for tones. And this is KS1PPY closing the Farinet and returning the repeater to normal use. Thank you and have a good evening. 7-3 all.
KE4 YXR.
Was that KE4 Yankee X-ray Romeo? Does that sound right?
That is correct. It's Reggie on this end, Romeo Echo Golf India Echo, and we missed the check-in. I was on the landline. I was going to try to catch it. I know y'all had a check-in tonight, but sorry that we missed it. We'll maybe pick y'all up next time. But anyway, top of the evening to you from the northern neck part of Virginia.
Oh yeah, sounds good. But we do this every Sunday night and Wednesday night at 8 p.m. So yeah, definitely feel free to join it. I had just clicked out of the net thing, so I'll have to write it down and add it manually later on. But yeah, definitely thanks for swinging by and feel free to join us next time around. Northern Neck's quite a haul. This is Sippy down here in Warrenton, not too far from the repeater. KS1PPY.
Yeah, I was on a check-in too tonight, a local repeater here in Montrose, Virginia, and they're from 7:30 to 8:30, and I got out of it and realized there was another one to come in too. So, yeah, well, if we don't catch you on a Wednesday, I will keep that Sunday in mind, and we're in here quite a bit, and we'll definitely make a note of it. What's the personal on your end? I didn't catch the name.
Oh, everybody just calls me Sippy, Sierra India Papa Papa Yankee, or Sierra India Papa Papa India, depending upon the spelling. It's kind of unimportant, but it's just my nickname that kind of goes along with the vanity call sign, Kilo Sierra 1 Papa Papa Yankee.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind then, and definitely I've got you full quieting over here. Conditions are really good tonight. Sometimes, you know, I get overconfident, and it's just not good conditions. But for some reason, this repeater is working great. Well, this one works great pretty much most of the time. Blue Mountain is the one I usually have a trouble with getting in and out of there. But tonight, that one was fine. So, anyway, yeah, I appreciate the comeback and the QSO, and we'll definitely catch you another day. K4YXR, I'll get back to you.
Roger that. Sounds good. Yeah, swing by any time. I look forward to hearing from you. I'm going to hop off here and finish up my work from the evening. Working from home is great as long as you can stay focused. That's my biggest thing with trying to get work in there. But it's good to meet you, and yeah, we look forward to hearing you on the next. K4YXR, KS1PPY, clear on your final.
Peter has a long drop. I was waiting for it to drop, but I guess just cut in anyway. I give it a lot plenty of time. We'll catch you later. And the 73rds, and this is K4YXR clear.
One quick note before I completely bail out on you. You do not have to wait for the repeater to drop before transmitting. If you hear the beep, that you can go ahead and go. That's when the timer is reset. The carrier doesn't need to drop for you to come back in. It works anyway. All right, 7-3, talk at you later.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, all right, some of them do work that way. I'll keep that in mind. All right, good night. Catch you later, K4.